ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Sam. Emergency meeting of the UN Security Council.
This was a law enforcement operation in furtherance of lawful indictments that have existed for decades. The United States arrested a narco-trafficker who is now going to stand trial in the United
States. Action to countries like Colombia, Cuba, and Mexico. But U.S. allies, including France and Denmark, also voiced strong concern.
We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And Denmark is not going to be able to do it, I can tell you.
Island attack. But first, Ray Donovan, a former chief of operations for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, on the United States' long-held goal to arrest Nicolas Maduro for alleged drug crimes, and which Latin American country it could target next. He's speaking with ABC News and current affairs reporter Nicole Johnston.
We've wanted Maduro since 2020. That's when the indictment really took place. I happened to be the special agent in charge of New York, and I was lucky to be a part of that, working with a really strong group of investigators that brought that indictment in New York, in the Southern District of New York. So it really sends a message to other leaders that are engaged in not only drug trafficking or narco drug trafficking, but also terrorist activities. Because the thing with Maduro and that administration is they had ties to Iran and to Hezbollah in Caracas.
Could you explain for us what exactly Venezuela's role is in the drugs trade?
So Venezuela, and more particularly the Maduro administration, was involved with collaborating with Colombian guerrilla groups in southern Colombia that oversaw the production of hundreds upon hundreds of tons of cocaine. That cocaine that was produced and smuggled in through Venezuela and then smuggled up to the coast, the northern coast of Venezuela, where it then be shipped into places like the Dominican Republic. And then once it arrived in the Dominican Republic, it would go either to the United States or it would go into Europe, or it can go into Spain, it can go into the Dutch Netherlands, it can even go into West Africa from Venezuela. So it was really part of the major transportation routes for the Colombians. Now, going back 10 years ago, they were also flying Venezuelan aircraft from that same area into places like Honduras and Guatemala, destined for Mexico, destined for the U.S. via that route as well.
So to really go after this trade, would you also have to go after Colombia?
Yes. So there's a longstanding history of DEA and U.S. law enforcement, U.S. military, U.S. intelligence working directly with Colombia to go after these groups for many, many decades. The challenge for us was DEA got kicked out of Venezuela in 2005. And so since 2005 to the present, the trade has just grown. Production of cocaine is through the roof. Even under Petro, the current president of Colombia, cocaine production is the highest it's ever been, literally. And so all the cocaine that you see in places like even Australia, it's derived from the Andean region of South America. And because the scrutiny and the ability to go after these organizations has been limited, that's opened up a lot of what we see going on throughout the world. Thousands upon thousands of tons of cocaine going into Europe. This is what really forced our hand here.
Ray, you're talking about the cocaine trade, but President Trump seems to have been focused on fentanyl. Has Venezuela really had any role in fentanyl production?
No, they're not a fentanyl producing country, and they're not even a cocaine producing country. What they are and what the administration is the facilitators. And they worked with the Mexican cartels. They work with the Colombian cartels. The Mexican cartels that they worked with are the fentanyl producers. So it's part of a much bigger conspiracy. And so, yes, now we see just tons and tons of cocaine and marijuana being shipped from Venezuela. But those groups worked hand in hand with the Sinaloa cartel. They worked with the Zetas. They worked with other Mexican groups that are pushing fentanyl into America, causing tremendous harm throughout cities and towns and neighborhoods throughout the United States.
Ray, you were a major part of bringing down El Chapo in Mexico. Is Nicolas Maduro and the wider Venezuelan cartel a bigger fish?
I'd say he's a bigger fish in the sense that it's beyond just purely drug trafficking. I'd say he's a bigger fish in regards to his role in Venezuela and the Western Hemisphere and the world. His collaboration with China, with Russia, with Iran, with other corrupt groups throughout the world. So I think that that's where he is a much bigger fish than even Chapo Guzman.
If the U.S. administration wants to take this further, where would they focus on after Venezuela? What could be next?
Well, the next likely, what I think will happen first in Venezuela is there's other co-conspirators still in Venezuela that were not captured, that are just as guilty, just as involved, and just as dangerous, quite frankly, in Venezuela as Maduro. And they were the hands-in-hand operations, several high-ranking military members that worked directly with Colombia guerrilla groups. That's going to be a focus for the U.S., certainly U.S. military, U.S. law enforcement. And then eventually trying to figure out what are the next steps directly working with Mexico to really go at where the cartels are strongest, right in Mexico, in Sinaloa and Guadalajara.
How involved and how many years would it have taken to build the intelligence in the Drug Enforcement Administration to map exactly how this trade is operating?
This indictment goes back almost 27 years of information, of intelligence. You're talking about hundreds of cases, sources, collaboration, sharing of intelligence across many agencies, and not only law enforcement agencies, intelligence agencies, military agencies, building to this moment where you have this capture and this process, hopefully this prosecution going forward. But this is a culmination of decades of work.
That was Ray Donovan, former chief of operations for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, speaking with Nicole Johnston. John Lyons is the ABC's America's editor. He's speaking from New York with the host of the World Today program, Annie Guest.
John, what message is Donald Trump sending to the international community with this action? Can we interpret it as Donald Trump saying superpowers should be able to do what they want?
Well, Annie, I think that there are two pretty clear messages here. There's a military message and there's a foreign policy message from President Trump. The military message is that this appears to be the way Donald Trump is going to conduct some of his military operations in his second term. We saw it last year with the bombing of Iran, of Iran's nuclear facilities. It was low risk from an American military point of view. There were no casualties, but it caused a lot of damage. And in a way, I think that really plays to the MAGA, the Make America Great Again base for Donald Trump. They don't want prolonged military operations like the Iraq War, but the quick clinical surgical operation in Iran and now in Venezuela, where, again, you know, America went in very quickly. From a military point of view, it was a very successful operation. They extracted and they captured the target. But then from a foreign policy point of view, it's pretty clear that this is the way America sees that this is its region. It regards the Americas, plural, Central and South America as its backyard. And in fact, it's going to do what it wants as it sees its interests in terms of the leaders running those countries. And we got a real taste of that from the when Donald Trump released the National Security Strategy of the United States just a few weeks ago. He talked about the sphere and basically saying that this is their geography, this is their sphere, and they did not want any non-hemispheric competitors who would have the ability to position forces or other threatening capabilities. So I think this is very much an insight into what Donald Trump's going to be doing for the next 3 years.
And John, how will the operation be perceived in Moscow and Beijing? And what about for countries like Cuba and Iran?
Well, I think that we've seen from both Russia and China at the UN Security Council in the last few hours have strongly opposed this. They were quite close to Venezuela, but they have done nothing militarily and won't do anything militarily. It's interesting because although Donald Trump is clearly quite close or has a good relationship with the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, over the last 6 months, he has hit three and damaged three of Russia's major allies. Iran is a major ally of Russia. Syria as well. The Americans have supported the ouster of Bashar al-Assad there. And then Venezuela. The Russians and the Chinese were very close to Venezuela and benefited from its huge oil supplies. So I think that they will be watching this nervously. But on the other hand, that sphere of influence we just talked about, the Chinese might actually think, well, if Donald Trump can go in and they can extract the leader from Venezuela, an aggressive action, then they can't really criticise us should we go in and take action in Taiwan.
While the narcotics charges against Maduro will appeal to MAGA's base, a war on drugs stance, we can't ignore oil, and Donald Trump says he's going to seize control of Venezuela's oil industry. It seems like American intervention in another country would be against the principles of MAGA, but is getting cheaper oil actually playing to his base?
Well, this is where I think that politically, from Donald Trump's point of view, it's a winning strategy, this, because firstly, it was not a prolonged operation, as we just talked about. It was quick. The imagery of someone seen as a dictator, this is a much maligned figure in the United States, the Venezuelan ousted leader. And so I think for the MAGA base, they like the show of strength by the United States. They like to be seen to still be strong, but they don't want to engage in wars overseas like Iraq or Ukraine. And so I think that from the MAGA point of view, and also if America can tap those oil supplies, then it may well lead to lower petrol prices in the US. And already major American oil companies are talking about what they might now be able to do in Venezuela. So I think that also appeals to the MAGA base. So I think Donald Trump has thought this through very, very well for several months. And I think from his political point of view, you know, regardless of international law, and, you know, there are many people arguing that this is a kidnapping, and that's what, in fact, Maduro himself says. From a political point of view, I think it's a winner for Donald Trump.
That was The Sam Hawley. We'll be back with all new episodes next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.